Awesome. So I'm going to start us with a word of prayer, and then we're just going to kick off this time into worship. Father in heaven, we thank you, God. Thank you that you are a holy God. We thank you for being such an awesome God who is faithful. We want to celebrate your faithfulness today. We want to brag on you, God. We want to praise you today. We want to give you all the honor, all the praise, all the glory. Lord, even as we approach this 20th anniversary of 9/11, I'm mindful, God, that you use that as a catalyst. That what the enemy meant for evil, God, that you use for good. And this is fruit that has come out of that. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. We ask, Father in heaven, can you please, in the name of Jesus, we pray, pour out your spirit from heaven above. We ask that you would encourage our hearts. Ask that you would continue to be the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Please continue to comfort our hearts as we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor of what you're doing at Calvary Chapel at the cross. Please continue to have your way and do your work as you build your church. For we do pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Hungry, hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Broken, broken, I run to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. So I wait for you.
Falling on my knees.
I'm falling on my knees. Offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
Hungry,
hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love, bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me all my life.
Here I am.
Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love, bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more and
when the music fades.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's so worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the ways
you're looking into my heart.
I'm coming back.
I'm coming back to the heart I worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
King of endless worth.
King of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart.
I'll bring you more than a song.
I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. More than a song.
I'll bring you more than a song.
I'll bring you more than a song. More than a song, you're looking into my heart, looking into my heart. You're looking into my heart, looking into my heart.
I'm coming back.
I'm coming back to the heart I worship. And it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
You are worthy.
You are worthy, O Lord, to receive all honor, to receive all glory. You created all I see. You created me to worship you, my Savior.
standing on this mountain top, looking just how far we come, knowing that for every step you were with us, kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone, never once did you leave us on our own. And struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone.
This time the children can be excused to children's church, and you guys could have a seat if you would. We are going to start up this time with a video, brief video snippet, here in just a moment, to start off our time here. So again, welcome to Calvary Chapel at the Cross.
When writing to the Ephesian church, said, "For you are his workmanship, created together in Christ Jesus, unto the good works that God has before ordained, you should walk in them." God, from the beginning, knew the work that he wanted to do in raising up Calvary Chapel. God knew it from the beginning. And it was something that's always a part of God's plan. But God has a plan, but then he uses human instruments to accomplish his plans, and he prepares those instruments. And he has interesting ways of working in our lives, which is all a part of the necessary preparation of the instrument in order that the plan of God might be accomplished.
Great. So, again, that was Pastor Chuck Smith at Calvary Chapel, and that was a documentary that we call A Venture in Faith. I'm hoping, God willing, that what we can do is, after we finish on our Wednesday study going through Revelation, which will end pretty soon, then we'll show that video on a Wednesday, have like a movie night. And then also, there's another Calvary Chapel video, What God Hath Wrought, it's called. We'll probably show that one too before we kick up into the next book. But for this time right now, I want to be able to share with you, of course, something very special and dear to me and for you guys as well. So, of course, we want to celebrate our church anniversary today. And so today is very different from our normal or regular Sundays. So we're going to be talking today about God's faithfulness. And again, I want to brag on our God. Is that okay? We're going to brag on our God. Certainly not what I can do or what we can do, but what I've seen God do throughout so many years here. God, and God alone, is faithful. Amen? He is faithful. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah chapter 61. And as we brag on our God, I want to share with you some key scriptures and also key events, key moments that God had used in the birth and the, I guess, growth, I could say, of this church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and we've certainly seen that out here. Again, this will be very different today than our normal going through the Bible type of series that we do on Sundays, going through the book of Acts, and Wednesdays right now going through Revelation. So part of this will be, let's just say, kind of like a church meeting, perhaps, where we can share some of these things, show some slides, if that's okay. Part of it also, I simply want to brag on my God. I want to take a look at God's faithfulness, and my hope and encouragement to you is that you would be inspired and encouraged to take steps of faith with God. So this God, he tells us, and we looked at earlier today in Psalm 37, feed on his faithfulness, like we see here on the wall. Thanks, guys, gals, Jessica and Angie, put all this beautiful stuff up for the decorations. God is faithful. God is faithful. He says, feed on his faithfulness. If you have your Bibles, please turn again to Isaiah chapter 61. I want you to know some of what had transpired at the very, very beginning as we brag on our God. So parts of today will be part of a Bible study. Part will be also reminiscing. My hope is that as we brag on God's faithfulness, that you would also be encouraged to take steps of faith with this God who is faithful. Amen? He is faithful. So if he could be faithful to a fellowship like ours, can he be faithful to the individual as well? Yes. It's not too hard for God. So I'm going to be sharing some key scriptures, some key events that had transpired in the birth and life of this church. Some of you guys don't know this. And I'm going to share some things that most of you guys here actually haven't seen or have heard of, especially some of these pictures here. But Isaiah 61, you'll see it on the screen too. Isaiah 61, it says in verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to, listen what it says, heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he, notice it says, he may be glorified. I want to point out a couple things here because when the Lord moved me out here, some of you guys don't know this, but we're about to approach what we call the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Who here was in New York City at that time? Some of you guys were. My wife, who's now my wife. She was out here at that time. I was on the West Coast, and you guys all remember that time, right? A Tuesday morning, a faithful day. You watched it on TV and the news. And we grew up watching so much of videos and you see all the special effects. You kind of are a little bewildered like I was, right? Like, is that real? Some people actually saw it firsthand. But most of us, if you're like me, you watch it over and over playing on the news. Like, that's real. This actually happened. This happened on U.S. soil in New York City. So the terrorists, of course, had taken, hijacked two planes and flew them into the Twin Towers here in New York City, in Manhattan. But some of you guys don't know this, that this church, your church, our church, is fruit from 9/11. Some of you guys don't know this. I may not have shared that with everybody throughout the years. Throughout the years, I hope to share that over and over. So after 9/11, God had stirred my heart and so many others within, like, our church background. I was on staff at Calvary Chapel, a church called Calvary Chapel Rancho Santa Margarita in Orange County, California, on staff with the Bible College. And I remember that day, I went into the church building where I was, where I was at, my home church. And I remember they kept the sanctuary nice and clear and open, and they would have it open during the day. I was on staff there, so I was working in the building. But I remember going into the front pews and just kneeling down. And they would have the nice, like, instrumental music. So if people wanted to come in and pray, it was really sweet like that. And I remember kneeling down in the front that day and praying, God, what do you want me to do? Like, we're all involved in this. Should I go? Should I stay? And it was as if the Lord told me a couple key words. Give Bill your availability. And that was Pastor Bill Aegis, who was the director of what we call Safe Harbor International Relief, a relief agency that was housed within the church where I was at. So we were involved in relief work. And I knew right away what that meant. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go. Or am I? So I remember rushing into the Safe Harbor office that was there in the church building, going, okay, Bill, what are we doing? Are we going to send a team? Are we going to go? Remember, I was in California at that time. You New Yorkers were here. Again, who here was in New York at that time? Awesome. I'm going to share with you some folks that were praying for you New Yorkers, and really, as a result, subsequently, all of us here praying for this church to come about. But these are the roots. These are the beginnings of what had happened, what transpired. So I went into the office, and I used to work for Safe Harbor. That was my first job at the church, when there was a whole whopping two employees, me and the director at that time. The big agency, actually, we were used by God to do some big works, but it was just two of us. We were part of the sending team. I was a techie guy. And I remember telling Bill, hey, are we going to go? I don't know. You know, can't get a hold of the pastor. I think he was on vacation at the time. This, of course, hit everybody as a surprise. And so I knew what that meant to go on a mission. I said, give me the paperwork. Because I knew, because we would have people fill them out. It's like, basically, because we send people into places like Sudan, you have to sign away your life. Like, you can get captured, killed, etc. So you're going to kind of sign your way, your life away. But give me the paperwork. I remember just signing it and then going, okay, what's next, God? And so later on, they ended up, hold on a second. Later on, they ended up sending out a team, and I was part of that first team that went from California to here. So we drove across the country in an RV. Guys, gals, if you can imagine four men driving across the country in an RV. You find out who snores, right? Because remember, you couldn't catch a plane at that time. So as we drove across the country, God was stirring within my heart, hey, this is going to be a long-term mission. I didn't know what that meant. But keep in mind, it was in my, I don't know, it was like 30 or something at that time. It's 20 years ago. I guess 31, 32, right before my birthday. And so I remember, though, God telling me that it's going to be like a long-term mission. Be prepared. I didn't know what that meant. We're driving across the country, and eventually, long story short, we ended up in a place where the mayor at the time, Giuliani, he opened up a place. And look, this is proof. See, Susan? Tell my wife, I used to have hair. So this was taken around November 2001. There was a little Catholic church building that the mayor opened up. It was closest to the pit, as we called it, ground zero. So there were other relief agencies. They had places that were far away. Praise God, he opened up a place. We partnered with New York City Operation or Office of Emergency Management, OEM, and the city's liaison that partnered with our relief agency, his name's Detective Carlos Aviles. He's actually a Calvary Chapel guy. He's now a Calvary Chapel pastor. I believe he's in Florida pastoring a church. But he used to be here in the city as a detective. So what we did was we started manning this place with mad visionaries, man, come from all around the world. I remember even people from Japan coming in. We just packed this place, a little tiny building. We packed it with Calvary Chapel missionaries. We started feeding the people. We didn't allow the paparazzi in. You know, the cameras and all, because people want to get in people's faces as they're crying, trying to process, like the police, the fire, construction personnel. Did you find your friends? What are you going to do? So we didn't allow any of that in. We set up cots for them to sleep, computers so they can email their wives and family back home, because everybody was just devastated and nobody knew what to do. So we were praise God, we were actually given a place that was the closest relief site to the pit, to Ground Zero. And it became a Calvary Chapel thing. We didn't plan it like that. It's just, it fell into our laps. And I was sent out here on a mission. Two parts. One was the pastor that sent me out. He said, I need you to take over this place to manage it because it's not really being done well. And I won't go into details, but he said, I want you to come out here, take care of things. The second thing was to pray for, God willing, a church plant. It's like, okay. And I knew this is something that I've been talking to the staff for a while. Both with the pastors on staff at the Bible College as well as the church I was at. But here I am, And he prepped me and others, like, okay, if you've never been to New York City, coming from Orange County, California, is like a cross-cultural mission. It's a totally different place. And here I was, like, all green with it. Yes. A deer in the headlights. Did I know what I was doing? No. So again, I want to brag on my God, our God. Again, God is faithful. He is the one that is faithful. But I want to share with you a little bit of these things that have transpired along the way. As I shared with you in Isaiah 61, I prayed, and the things that God was breaking my heart for were these things. Let me share it back on the screen again. A couple key things in verse 1. You hear me say this throughout the years, and there's a reason why. And God etched this within my memory. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, didn't he? So this is something very personal and real and near and dear to my heart, not just from the 9/11 time, but also what he has me very mindful of, to heal the brokenhearted. And also in verse 2, you see here, I outlined it in the blue, to comfort all who mourn. These were not only prophecies about Jesus Messiah, but things of which that were very directive that God was showing me about what he wanted me to do. 9/11 was just a start to love and to try to encourage the people of New York City. But he's really breaking my heart. Not so much for the place, because I still feel like a tourist out here. Is that anybody else? Am I the only one? Some of you guys, right? Like, I could walk around in Manhattan. You know how you could tell the tourists? I used to work in Manhattan for about 10 years. You know how you could tell the tourists? They have cameras. They have cameras. But they're always, like, looking up at the building. I still feel like that. Like, whoa, look how huge this place is. And then verse 3, he mentions, give them beauty for ashes. Folks, the church is not the building. Amen? Look around. You guys here, this church fellowship, and many others that simply aren't here today, this is the reason, you're the reason why God moved me out here. So February 2002, God moved me from Orange County, California. Some of us also came from California. And he moved me across the country. Did I know what I was doing? No. Did he make it very abundantly clear? Yes. He wanted me to be here. Is actually some prophecies given that I could see now what had happened. But I simply had to exist on faith. And as we looked at this morning in Isaiah 60 or Psalm 37, feed on his faithfulness. God has always been faithful, amen? And he'll continue to be faithful. I've seen that here. I'm going to show you a picture of the apartment, my first apartment, really garage, that he moved me into in just a moment. So this was a place. He opened up this relief center, respite center, and God wanted to give the people beauty for ashes. He's done that. He's done that. And I want to encourage you that you would continue to pray for what God has in store for our church as well as for your life. God is the God that is faithful. As we approach Christmas, I believe this was taken, I could tell by the Christmas tree. This was probably taken about December 2001. But God had used 9/11 as a catalyst for this church. Was that my plan? No. Would I have picked New York City? No. I always thought God was going to send me somewhere else in California. Why? So I could just drive back home a little closer to where I was. You see, that was my plan. Have you ever seen a Thomas Kincaid painting? Any of you guys seen Thomas Kincaid painting? Some of you guys know what that is? No? Thomas Kincaid, painter of light? It's always this little nice cottage kind of in the woods by a stream. I imagine myself fishing for trout out there. That's what I wanted. You know, there's the call of man and the call of God. But God had in store a plan and a purpose for me. And like Chuck Smith shared in the video, God's going to prepare someone for a certain place, for a certain people, in a certain time. That's what he was doing with me. I didn't know that. And I wanted to show this because these two ladies on the left side, they also came on a mission that I was to lead up missionaries on teams from California. And they're two of the ones that came up. This gal here on the left, some of you guys met her, at least through Zoom, that's Lori McKay, and that's Suzanne Welty. They, you know what they told me? We like praying for baby churches. They actually told me that. And they told me that early on, this is before I even moved here, before you all assembled here. And so they prayed for you 20 years ago, praying and planting those seeds, watering it by faith and prayer. And after I had gone to, on that first trip, driving across the country with my buddies and then coming back, I remember, again, like I shared with you, I thought God was telling me, hey, be prepared because this is going to be a long-term mission. What does that mean? I don't know, but it's going to be a long-term mission. So I even told the people at the house where I was staying at, I wrote up one of those letters that you put in case I die or I don't come back, open it up. And the son there was like, can I open it up? Like, no, it's there. And it's basically saying, if I don't come back or whatever, just take all my supplies, take all my stuff, sell it, give it away to missions or something like that. I just knew that God was telling me it was a long-term mission. Long story short, after I had gotten here and they kind of buttoned up a lot of things that we initially had come out to do, I remember they're telling me, Drew, I need you to pray about coming back home. I'm like, no, but you don't understand, there's so much work here. We went to some of the parks in Manhattan. We saw people, crazy stuff. I saw this gal handing out the flyers. And you know what she's actually saying? She says, as she handed them out, post 9/11, I'm against the Lord, I'm against the Lord, I'm against the Lord, just like that. And it freaked me out. We were used to outdoor evangelism, just walking to people, hey, can I tell you about my friend Jesus? And here's this gal doing like anti-evangelism. I'm against the Lord, handing out these papers. I'm like, what is this about? I think it was like pro-abortion and all that kind of stuff. And I'm trying to tell my buddies back home in California, it's like, this is crazy out here. We don't see Christian missionaries doing evangelism in some of the big areas. I forget the name of that park. There was one of the parks. I think it was the one with the horse with George Washington on it. Someone spray painted pray across the face of the horse. And it was like a makeshift memorial post 9/11. They put up candles and everything around. I mean, they had Hare Krishnas out there giving away free curry. That gal like trying to evangelize against the Lord, saying, I'm against the Lord. We didn't see any Christians out there handing out tracts or telling people stuff. And there's another guy that was out there in the park screaming out, we have the solution! We have the solution! I'm like, okay, let's hear what this guy's got to say. He's handing out these little papers. 613 laws of beauty or something like that. We're like, oh no, this guy's trying to drag people under the law. Like, Torah. Oh no, that's not the solution. Oh. So it was breaking my heart. And I think God just allowed me to experience that so that it would stir within me. But the challenge I had is that I had to die to what I thought was going to be, like immediately, some kind of long-term mission and church plant. That's my initial thought. So as we're driving back in an RV with my buddy Garrett, he used to play for the LA Rams, a big hulking guy, and I brought my guitar, we'd be doing worship all the time. He'll be crying like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, God. I thought you told me I should stay in New York. I'm like crazy, deer in the headlights. I don't know what's going on. But I found that God had to have me die to what I thought was going to be like my plans. So God gave me the big container, long-term mission. I started like, okay, let's do this, let's do that. It's kind of how my mind operates sometimes. I had to die to that, and I'm still learning, still in therapy on that. And so driving back, I found that I had to die to that. And I'm telling you this because on one Sunday, when the church I was with was planning to bring people into the facility, which is where that picture is. JP, are we able to click through on this? I'm not able to click. Can you just click? Yeah. Okay, so when this place opened up, the staff over at my church, because we're big on missions. In Southern California, on the radio, we do a lot of like advertising and all. A lot of the Calvary Chapels there knew us as the Missions Calvary Chapel. So they sent us missionaries and all. So all these missionaries started to come around, and they knew that, okay, we have this relief site that's like the closest to Ground Zero as you can possibly get. And we're partnering with the mayor and the city. It's like, you got the green light for go. Bring in missionaries. They were very open to it at that time. And I was there grumbling. I'm just being honest, telling you. I was grumbling in my heart, going, God, you told me it's going to be a long-term mission. And as our meeting after the church service on Sunday, I was back in the Bible college room, kind of arguing with God in my heart, just kicking back with my friend, Pastor Brett, and thinking, okay, forget this whole 9/11 missions thing. That's just how I was. I don't know what to tell you. That's where my heart was at. And I was just arguing with God, kind of. And then, out of the blue, my friend Laurie, this gal here on the left, comes in. She comes into the room, and she says, are you going to go? Like, to New York. Are you going to go? I'm like, nah, I got this whole New York thing out of my system. That's just where I was at. I was kind of arguing, crying, complaining in my heart. And here's what she said. Very direct, very blunt, very plain. Well, God told me you are. And if you are, I want to be part of it. And so that's where this picture is taken. I'm like, again, deer in the headlights. Do I know what I'm doing? No. Did God have to send other people to kind of help spank me and get me along the path of what God's wanting? Yes. And so we started praying, and I'm like, okay, God, all right. It's got to be done your way. That's just where I was at. So this church fellowship and the church planting that he had done. This is certainly not a result of my faithfulness. It's really God. So February 2002 is when God had actually moved me out from Southern California to here. This is a picture. I haven't shown too many people this recently. I think most of you guys have never seen this. But this was a garage over here on 67th Street, right off of Elliott Avenue in Middle Village. That was my first apartment here. One-car garage converted into apartment. Here's how small that place. My back was against, like, the door taking that photo. If you can imagine, like, if you've seen the apartments here, they're not big. It was a garage. I'd be able to palm the ceiling standing on the ground, and I'm not a very tall guy. That's how small it was. And so your church, our church, actually was birthed out of a garage. Our very first Sunday service was here in this little garage. Did I know what I was doing? No. I was simply trying to be obedient to what God was telling me. So you heard of garage bands. Well, we have a garage church, so to speak. Now, another thing I want to share, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 14. I'm just going to show you a couple key moments and key things of what God had done. Not just with me, but some of you guys here. Matthew 14, I want to start reading from verse 14. So today, like I said, it'll be a little more topical, a little different than a regular through the Bible, Bible study. Matthew 14, starting at verse 14, says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed the sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to them saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food.'" Look what Jesus says in verse 16. "But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, 'Bring them here to me.'" So on October 2012, you guys know, Superstorm Sandy hit here, South Queens. Who here was in New York City at that time? Okay, it hit South Queens, just south of here. And here I was kind of perplexed. I knew also, I was like, we got to go do something. So I remember gathering up some of my pastor friends. One guy came from New Jersey, another guy from the Bronx when there was a Calvary Chapel there. And we headed out into the Rockaways in Queens to check it out, to pray and so forth. And we saw just mass carnage out there. And some of you guys saw, like, the weeks after Superstorm Sandy hit in October, November 2012. It was pretty bad. So, and I'm just going to kind of cut the story short. We gathered, and we found this little corner here. By the way, when we went to go do a baptism, this is just a couple blocks away. This is there in the Rockaways. This is the post office that's close to our baptism area. So we were just parking it out here on the curb. We brought out a barbecue. I was with my buddies, like, what can you do? Okay, we'll bring out a barbecue. All right, you bring some hamburgers. We'll bring some hot dogs. We just kind of did like a potluck outreach. And we started just loving on the people, feeding them. We didn't know what we were doing. We just knew that there was a need, right? And we just wanted to respond to that. And God was really doing something within our hearts. So we started doing relief work in South Queens, November 2012, early November. We were collaborating with other Calvary Chapels. We started on the sidewalk. And I remember some of the NYP pulled up. The cops pulled up, and they pulled up. We're sitting there, open fire on the streets. We're like, hey, what's going on? You want a hamburger? Like, you just don't do that. But then, at that time, it was very different. You know what they told me? Now, keep in mind, some of you guys know, U.S. Postal Service, I mean, post office property, that's federal property. My background, I came from doing prison ministry, so I understand jurisdictions, right? There's city cops, there's federal. And what one of them told me is like, you don't need to be here, you need to be there. And they're pointing over the fence. And I'm thinking, you're going to get me in trouble with the federal government. We can't just have open fire there. But that's what they said. And so we're like, okay. So we started talking with the folks that were there. There was a guy that was actually hiding away in the building trying to get the operations up and running. And he says, yeah, we would love that. Why don't you bring your people and bring them out? And so we're like, okay, praise God. So we started bringing people out. Some of you guys were here at that time. weekly we did missions out there on Saturdays. Remember that time we would leave here? We had stuff piled in the sanctuary here, and we would leave Saturday morning and come back with more stuff. And it was like the fish and bread multiplying. That's just how it was. And here I was in my heart. This is just where I was. I want to tell you guys again, this church and some of the key things he's done throughout the years, it's not a matter of my faithfulness, but really God who is faithful. Here I was arguing in my heart, just like the disciples. I'm sitting there thinking, Susan, you and I remember our little baby Christina was born earlier that year. And here I am thinking, God, you know, we got this little baby girl. We got a second mouth to feed. I don't have that comfy job, which I had. And I'm worried about how I'm going to take care of my family. So here's my prayer, how raw and real it was. God, if I help take care of your family, can you take care of my family? That's just how it was. Because there was just too much need. And we saw hundreds of people out there. The government wasn't doing much for them. They'd go on the news, oh, yes, everything's fine. We're out there, people are like screaming. They're just crazy out there. So here in my heart, though, I'm thinking, send them away. I can't take care of that. I'm just telling you honestly how it was. This is not a matter of my faithfulness. Send the people away. I can't do this, God. You're asking me to do something. My other pastor friends were like, no, just do something. God's already got you there. You think he'd already prepared you? I'm like, no, send somebody else. That could be a missionary to maybe take it over. And here's what God was really convicting my heart. You give them something to eat. You take care of them. I'm like, what? We just moved into this building. Where you guys are sitting in right now, earlier, like maybe a month or two before Superstorm Sandy, I forget how long, not too long before, we broke through the wall. We used to be on that side, like where you see JP sitting. Just the little storefront church type of facility. We broke through the wall because we believe God wanted us here. And here I was freaking out in my heart thinking, okay, God, how are we going to pay the bills? It's a lot more expensive here. That's just how it was for me. And then Superstorm Sandy hit, right? And then he's breaking my heart. You give them something to eat. So we started ministering here weekly, and we would just pile up stuff. Remember how like stuff would just pile up here? And we're thinking, man, we got to do something about that. So a buddy of mine, Pastor Billy Wheeler from Washington, he was crazy. He brought down like 25 missionaries. They were sleeping here in the building during that time. And he came down like four, maybe five times as doing missions when we were doing relief work there. So we prayed for a place. Here's another picture of the post office lot. There's hundreds of people that came out, and we're just loving them. Again, did we know what we're doing? No, we just wanted to love them, point them to Jesus Christ, and take care of the practical needs. Because many people were without things like electricity, they're without water, they're without heat. It was getting cold that winter, and so we just wanted to love the people. There was a lot of prayer. This one always gets me. I look at this, I'm like, oh, I remember that time. This lady was just bawling because it's cold. People couldn't feed their families. The government wasn't doing anything. Going on the news saying they got everything under control, but when you're there on the site, you realize these people, they're not getting taken care of. And there was no markets even around in that spot. If you guys know where we did the baptism, there's not much around there to sustain life. So they didn't have electricity, they didn't have heat, they didn't have water, they didn't have food. We brought these little propane gas heaters to help them for a little time. There's a lot of little kids. That really broke my heart, and families. But the people really weren't having anything. So me and Billy, we're there praying, like, God, give us a spot where we can have a storage trailer. Like, you know those things, a box that goes on the back of a semi-truck? That's what we were praying for. I got to tell you, that's what I was praying for. And then we came across this property. If you remember where we were, like, Hector, you call me, or he's not here. He's calling, he's like, where do I find the beach area? We baptized, like, right here. There's a post office where we took the pictures from. God actually gave us a five-acre property. Like, where do you get 5 acres in New York City for free? And God allowed us to use that for 2 years in this little fellowship. So again, I want to brag on my God. He's the one that's faithful. Some of you guys have come out during that time over and over, and I want to thank you for your hearts there. So here I was praying that, God, would you please give us a spot to put a storage trailer? We got in contact with the guy that owned this property, and it was a mess. We had the grass, the weeds, I guess you call them, were like this high. We had to bring contractors out to mow the whole area just about, or a good portion of it. We put up a temporary shelter that's like the size of this place, which became the place where we would do ministry in. And long story short, the guy was telling me, hey, I got a property there. Why don't you just use it? And I'm like, no. I'm like arguing with the guy because my prayer was, God, just give us a spot to put a storage trailer. You know, we could put like a semi-truck out there. It's like, why don't you just use the whole property? You guys are doing something good for the community, and I can't use it right now. And obviously the whole area is devastated. And I'm like, no, just give us this. And my buddy's like, no, just take it. But I want to brag on my God because when I was praying for this, you see, one of the scriptures that God had really used in my life in the birth of this church is that God is the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So my prayers were like this, and God was wanting to give that. Just understand, that's the God that you know and love and serve. And Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to have to probably cut some of this short, just because there's like so much to do. I was telling God, okay, send them away. You're saying you give them something to eat. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm just going to end with this because we're going over our time. And forgive me because I'm still processing. Pray for me if you would. I'm still processing a lot of this. I really am. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 14, it says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, listen to this, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And look as it says here in verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So think about this. God is able. Amen? God is able. I am not able. As we celebrate the what we call the church anniversary for us here, this anniversary of him planting and birthing this church out of a garage and sustaining us. I mean, think about this. We still to this day have never asked for a single penny. We have not once passed the plate. And that's something personal and really, really real to me. Because when I was growing up going to churches, I hated that time. Anybody else? Okay, you guys can identify that. Well, I would go to these churches where sometimes three times in one boring service, they never would actually teach me the Bible. Like, first time is maybe a, you know, offering for the church. Second time for the missionaries. Third time for the building fund. And you're like, oh, I hated that time. Now, I'm not saying they don't need to take a collection or offering. But can't we just rely on God, that God is the one that's faithful? Right? And when we give, true giving is an act in response to the God who gives. Right? Amen? That's true giving. You don't have to manipulate it. So what we need to do is pray that we can help and love people and feed them God's word, that you would grow and mature in his ways. And out of response to God's love and his goodness, his faithfulness, we give. But I always hated that. So think about this. And I even had some almost arguments with some of my folks that were, some of my friends that were Christians and missionaries and church planters. They would ask me, how are you going to plant this church? And I would jokingly look at them. I'd go, I take this hand and go, okay, what do you want us to do? That doesn't resonate with most people. It's like, no, how are you going to do it? What's your 5-year plan? Like, I have no 5-year plan. I have no plans other than to follow my God who is faithful. He said it. I just need to be obedient and faithful to him. So notice that God is the one who is faithful. God is the one who is able. It says, to him who is able. I'm not able. He's the one that will do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Again, just one little example. It's just one little example. That's very personal for some of us. I mean, Kimmy even moved out here post Superstorm Sandy. Pray for her. She's like, it was like a 3-week. Yeah. Yeah, it was supposed to be 3 weeks, right? So God had another plan. So God does these things. He's the one that's able. We have to remember that. How did God do it? I don't know. But how is he able to get his work done? Notice it says, according to the power that works in us. Amen? that you and I need to pray to tap into the power of God. I'm weak, therefore He is the one that's strong. And as I close in prayer, I want to encourage you that you would have that same hope, that you would continue to have faith in this God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Why? And look what it says here, the last verse, verse 21. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God is the one that wants to be glorified. Amen. Can we all stand? I'd love for us to just read this out loud. I'd love for you guys to memorize this or at least know where in the Bible this is. This is one of the verses and the passages that God had used in your fellowship, this church. Let me just read this together. Ready? One, two, three. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You for being faithful. We thank You, God, that You have birthed this church. You have planted this church. You sustain us. I don't know how You do it. But just like how You feed the multitudes, how You continue to provide, how You continue to guide, how You continue to protect, God, let us not question You. Forgive me, God. Because oftentimes my prayer requests are too small, and I stumble myself. Forgive me for that, Lord. I pray that You would continue to have Your way, that You would continue to be glorified through this church, that whatever You want to do through this fellowship, God, we're here now today. I know that nobody can tell me that You do not exist, and nobody can tell me that You did not want this church fellowship to be here. You ordained this. You called this out. You were the one that was faithful. Even when I wanted to quit so many times, God, You're the one that was faithful. You're the one that showed us, and we thank You for that. Thank You for being a holy God. Thank You for being a God who is faithful, who's given us Your word, who gives us faith, and You want us to simply apply that faith to say that we can trust You, Lord, with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, and that in all our ways we would acknowledge You, and You will direct or guide our path. Help us to do that, God. Thank You for what You've done in Calvary Chapel at the cross. This is a work of You, of God. By Your grace, all we could do, all I could do is mess it up. Thank You, God, for Your faithfulness. Continue to strengthen us and give us faith, Lord, in this fellowship, and that each and every one of us can be encouraged to take steps of faith to do what You're telling us to do. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.